Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen.
And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Everything is possible for one who believes.
Welcome to Faith Matters. It's time for Faith Matters, and we are on chapter 10 of our book, Dr. David Jeremiah's The Great Disappearance, 31 Ways to Be Rapture Ready. And it's pretty important to know where you're going to spend eternity, because in the whole scheme of things, eternity is a long time.
And it is.
Our life is just a blink of an eye.
It is. It's very short.
So we're going to get into an interesting topic tonight.
Yes.
The rapture.
The rapture. Chapter 10.
The rapture is the moments. It's the moment before believers disappear from the earth.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Chapter 10. Captain William Schaffner vanished without a trace. A captain, really. He was a pilot in the United States Air Force, engaged in an official exchange with the Royal Air Force. On September 8th, 1970, he was flying a BAC Lightning over the North Sea. His call sign was Foxtrot 94. Suddenly, an unidentified object was caught on radar, and Schaffner pursued it, reported as glowing in a golden light. The object was later said to be another aircraft. But it eluded Schaffner, who flew at a high speed towards the object. And then he vanished. Just like that. Not just from the radar. The man simply vanished.
Crazy story, isn't it?
About a month later, his plane was found intact at the bottom of the sea. But the cockpit was closed with the canopy and ejector seat still in place. There was no sign of Captain Schaffner or his remains. For decades, people have tried to solve the mystery of the vanished airman. The Foxtrot 94 has spawned countless theories. Recently, another investigation suggested Schaffner had manually opened the canopy and jumped out in midair. And then, when his plane hit the water, the pressure closed the canopy.
That sounds unlikely.
Maybe, though. I mean, it's possible. But the case of the vanishing Air Force pilot was puzzled. It has puzzled military and civilian investigators for decades. I mean, imagine then how officials will try to explain the spontaneous disappearance of millions or even billions of people when the rapture happens. That's just imagine. How will the governments explain it? What conspiracy theories will grip the popular imagination? What panic will haunt the hearts of those left on Earth? That's the rapture. So, the rapture has always been kind of a far-fetched idea for most of us. But we have gone to the extent of going through the entire book, two books now, the Book of Signs by Dr. David Jeremiah, and now the book called The Great Disappearance. Because the rapture is the central theme to all of it. The rapture, that moment when everyone disappears from
right,
the earth.
Right. So, first we're going to talk about the portraits of the rapture.
We will be caught up together in the clouds, it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Let's learn more.
Some people question using the word rapture because the term is not in the Bible.
Right.
Yes, but in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, it says we will be caught up. The Greek word Paul used was harpazo. When the New Testament was rendered into Latin, the translators used the word raptura, which means to catch up or snatch up. From this, we get our word rapture. So it's a root word or created from, right? You probably seldom think about Greek terms, but this is one you should understand. Harpazo is found 13 times in the New Testament, and it has multiple shades of meaning. Each helps us understand the nature of the rapture event. In some instances, the word means to carry off by force, and the rapture, the devil and his cohorts, may do all in their power to keep Christians here on earth, but the Lord Jesus will overpower them, delivering us by the omnipotent power he at his command, as if carrying us off by supreme might. Mm. The word can also mean to claim for oneself eagerly. At the end of this present age of grace, our blessed Savior will come to claim us at his very own. A third meaning of the word is to snatch out or away speedily. This emphasizes the sudden nature of the rapture. In a split second, the Lord will call all believers to himself to share in his glory. Not one will remain behind. The fourth meaning of the word is the most definitive. It means to rescue from danger of destruction.
Okay, let's take a look at that.
In his letter to the Corinthians, Paul described the sudden nature of the rapture as in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in 1 Corinthians 15:52. Mm-hmm. Marge Hitchcock explained it like this. The events of the rapture will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The Greek word for moment is atomos, from which we get our English word atom. Atomos refers to something that is indivisible. It cannot be divided. When Paul wrote these words, no one could imagine splitting the atomos. Today, we would translate this in an instant.
Splitting the atom?
Right. Today, we would translate this in an instant, in a split second, or in a flash. The second phrase that describes the duration of the rapture is in the twinkling of an eye. The Greek word for twinkling is rhipe, R-H-I-P-E. This might refer to the time it takes for light to reflect in the human eye. Yeah. Others believe that it refers to the time it takes to blink your eye, mm-hmm. in the blink of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
Blinking is the quickest movement in the human body. People everywhere understand what in the blink of an eye means.
Mm-hmm.
Hitchcock summarized by saying the rapture will occur in a split second. Suddenly corpses all over the world will be raised and reunited with perfected spirits, and living believers everywhere will be caught up to heaven and transformed body, soul, and spirit. The rapture will shock the world. It will change everything. In a nanosecond, the Lord will call all believers to himself to share in his glory. We will simply vanish from this earth. No one who has confessed Christ as Lord will remain behind.
And so what is the picture of the rapture? It's hard to imagine just what it'll look like. But I read a paragraph recently that created this vivid picture, Dr. Jeremiah writes. Millions of people from all parts of the earth feel a tingling sensation pulsating throughout their bodies. They are all suddenly energized. Those with physical deformities are healed. The blind suddenly see. Wrinkles disappear on the elderly as their youth is restored. As these people marvel at their physical transformation, they are lifted skyward. Now remember, all this happens pretty fast.
Right.
Those in buildings pass right through the ceiling and roof without pain or damage.
Ooh.
Hey, wait a minute.
Like ghosts?
Figures just there and then not there, passing through things.
Mm-hmm. But this is nothing to be afraid of.
This is nothing to be afraid of, but I'm also obviously referencing back to these holographic fake images that they're putting up in places now like Miami and Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Their flesh and bones seem to dematerialize, defying all known laws of physics and biology. As they travel heavenward, some of them see and greet those who have risen from their graves. After a brief mystical union, they all vanish from sight. This all happened in the blink of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm reading directly from Dr. Jeremiah's book, of course, using the Fair Use Act and breaking this down, but I'm also interjecting my own ideas here, so make sure you follow along in the book. And if you don't have a book, go ahead and pick it up at whatever favorite bookstore you have. It's called The Great Disappearance. So the world will somehow have to come to grips with millions of millions and millions of missing Christians. Just boom, like that, in the blink of an eye. I keep saying that because all this description he just gave, I'm sure that's the description. I'm not debating that. I'm not breaking that, you know, saying that's wrong. If that'll happen so fast, we won't even know that.
Right.
We won't even know that our wrinkles disappeared and that the blind can see. I mean, they will probably, but at the same moment that the blind can see, they'll be with him in the clouds, ascending into heaven. So, I don't know if that moment is in the blink of an eye, if it'll even matter.
Well, it won't matter to us.
It's the end
those
result.
Who are left.
Oh, it'll matter big time. Hot tamale mama.
Hot tamale mama.
Okay. So, yeah. Yeah. That's bad news.
It'll be in the blink of their eye.
Mama, I got bad news. Bad mm-hmm. news. I've been hanging with some bad dudes. Bad dudes. Yeah. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you don't know salvation, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, right now, before we get even any farther into this chapter, is right now is the time, right now, just turn your heart, your mind, your soul towards the Lord and get your life to the point where you know where you're going to spend eternity. That itself can also happen in the blink of an eye.
Right.
Salvation can come like that right now. If you believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and he is the Son of God, that he descended into hell after he died for 3 days to take on all that sin, and then ascended on the right hand side of God and sits there now. But he did leave the Holy Spirit for us, as promised in the Bible, to help comfort and guide us. We will not be perfect. We know our sin will continue, unfortunately, but we know that his sacrifice was once and for all. He died for our sins, past, present, and future, and that we are forgiven. If we believe and turn from our sin and self and ask for forgiveness and turn towards him. If you're ready to do that right now, in the blink of an eye, you are just saved. Just like that. So now, let's recall a depiction in the book again of the rapture and Hal Lindsey's book, The Late Great Planet Earth.
Hmm.
There I was driving down the freeway and all of a sudden the place went crazy. Cars going in all directions and not one of them had a driver. And they weren't Teslas. I mean, it was wild. I think we've got an invasion from outer space, Project Bluebeam. It was the last quarter of the championship game and the other side was ahead. Our boys had the ball. We made a touchdown and tied it up. The crowd went crazy. Only 1 minute to go and they fumbled. Our quarterback recovered. He was about a yard from the goal when zap. No more quarterback. Completely gone. Just like that. It was puzzling. Very puzzling. I was teaching my course in the philosophy of religion when all of a sudden three of my students vanished. They were quite argumentative. Always trying to prove their point from the Bible. No great loss from the class. However, I do find this disappearance, very difficult to explain. This is Hal Lindsey in his book. These images help us visualize what the rapture may be like. Though our imaginations aren't big enough to truly envision what the world will experience. Our hearts are big enough, however, to realize our Lord wants us to be with him,
mm-hmm.
and every day we're more eager for his return.
That's true. Very true.
So give your life to Christ now. Be ready in the moment of the rapture, and you will be taken up into the clouds, into heaven. So what is the purpose of the rapture?
Why will he come in this way and at this unspecified time? Well, let me suggest two reasons. First, the rapture will end the church age and trigger the stunning sequence of events of the end times. According to Guinness World of Records, the largest chain of dominoes so far constructed was at a Michigan school. It consisted of 100,000 dominoes, which took a week to assemble into elaborate patterns across the gym floor. One privileged student toppled the first piece, and the chain reaction was unstoppable. Similarly, the sudden appearance of Jesus Christ in the sky for his children and their sudden disappearance from earth will trigger a non-stop chain of events lasting 7 years and culminating in his second coming. Every year, more than 1 billion people tune in across multiple TV networks to watch the ball drop in New York City's Times Square. Tens of thousands flood the streets of the Big Apple to watch the event live. What's interesting is that the ball itself is a symbol of transition. From the moment the ball begins to descend the pole atop the one Times Square, viewers know they're witnessing the end of the current year. They're still experiencing that year, but they know something new is coming. When the ball finally finishes its descent, the new year begins. The old is gone and the new has come. In like manner, the rapture will be the catalyst, the divine spark that will signal the end of our current age and begin the prophetic countdown to the end of history as we know it. The other purpose of the rapture will be for God to deliver his children from earth before the 7 year tribulation begins. What will happen during these 7 years will eclipse every natural disaster in history. Jesus warned, there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be, in Matthew 24:21. This period is described in vivid detail in Revelation 6:8-18. During this period, the world will experience pain and devastation like never before. But according to the scriptures, Jesus will first catch away all those who have put their trust in him. He will do this before the tribulation begins. In Revelation 3:10, Jesus told the church in ancient town of Philadelphia, "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world." Here then is a summary of what happens. The Lord Jesus Christ will return from heaven, bringing the souls of those who have already died with him. The bodies of those dead saints will be resurrected and changed, and then the bodies of those Christians who are alive and remain at his coming will also be changed. When this happens, God is going to hover over this universe and all who have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Those who have been resurrected and those who have never died are going to be snatched up, pulled right out of the population, suctioned off the planet. It's going to happen instantly. No time to get ready. No prelude. No preliminaries.
Revelation 3:10 said the ancient town of Philadelphia? I had never heard that before. In the book, The King is Coming, Harold Wilmington provided an illustration I find especially helpful on this topic. It's the rapture sequence. A man is cleaning out his garage and discovers a small box filled with a mixture of tiny iron nails, wooden splinters, sawdust, and pieces of paper. Suppose he desires to save the nails. How could he quickly separate them from the wooden splinters? If a magnet was available, the task would be quite simple. He would simply position the magnet over the box. Immediately, all of those objects possessing the same physical nature would be caught up to meet the magnet in the air.
Right.
When Christ appears, he will not come especially for black or white people, for Catholics or Protestants, for Jews or Gentiles, but for those individuals who possess the same nature as himself. Those who know Christ share his nature and will be drawn to him, caught up by his magnetic, rapturous power. And then we will ever magnify our Savior.
Amen to that.
So take a look at the rapture sequence there as we get ready to close out Faith Matters. Number one, the return. For the Lord himself will descend. Excuse me. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Not with a sneeze. But it'll be that fast. Probably faster. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Number two, the resurrection. And the dead in Christ will rise first. That's also in 1 Thess 4:16. The rapture. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. The redemption. And number four there, you see, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In what way? We explained that last week or the week before in a previous chapter. You've got to go back and listen to those.
The Extreme Makeover, I think.
Was it just last week? Mm-hmm. Yeah, thousands of listens on that one. And number five, the reunion. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord.
Amen.
And that is another and final point, that salvation is forever. It's eternal and it cannot be taken away. Once you give your life to Christ and turn from sin and self, believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, is the Son of God, supernatural, part of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You believe that, and you know that Jesus died for our sins, he ascended into heaven, and that he now sits with the Lord himself, and that he awaits for us. His return will be like it says in the Colossians, and we will be in Thessalonians caught up in the clouds. Mm-hmm. So pay attention to the signs, just like we went over in the book of the signs and right here in the Great Disappearance, because this is 31 ways to be rapture ready. So thank you for listening, and we pray that salvation upon you. We pray that you accepted that prayer and took that step tonight. If so, congratulations. You will never have that snatched away from you. You shall spend eternity in heaven as the Lord has promised. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name we pray for you.
Amen. Amen. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus.
And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Then the God of peace will be with you.